you bribe the right politicians in the right order at the right time, you can trade the nuclear warheads for medicine, and it's not even a crime. $1 on clinical trials, $600 on making you dead. Your leaders aren't evil.
Getting 195 countries to agree costs billions and takes forever. No, getting countries to implement things costs billions. Getting them to sign papers is surprisingly cheap. Humans love signing papers. It makes them feel important. What treaties actually cost? Non-governmental organization, or NGO, campaign budgets are rarely disclosed publicly because nonprofits guard their finances the way dragons guard gold. But we know enough to establish something surprising. Treaty campaigns run on pocket change. The Ottawa Treaty, banning landmines, took 14 months. It started with one staff member, Jody Williams, who grew a coalition to over 1,000 organizations across 60 countries. Canada committed $100 million over 10 years. International donors added $169 million in 1997 for mine action. 122 states signed. She won the Nobel Peace Prize. The Cluster Munitions Convention took about 2 years. A coalition of NGOs, backed by a core group of seven governments, got 94 states to sign and over 1 million stockpiled munitions destroyed. The Arms Trade Treaty took a decade, but started with just three supporting governments. The Arms Control Coalition, led by Oxfam and Amnesty International, published over 50 reports and built support until 130 countries signed. The Nuclear Ban Treaty also took a decade of campaigning. The International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons, or ICAN, ran the entire operation with five staff in a Geneva office, coordinating 468 partner organizations. 122 states voted yes. Another Nobel Peace Prize. Pattern. One woman with a phone convinced 122 countries to ban landmines. Five people in a Geneva office won a Nobel Prize. The NGO costs are a few million dollars per year. Government conference costs add $10 to $30 million. Total to get a treaty signed, $15 to $50 million. Your species spends more than that on Super Bowl ads for beer. Inflation adjusted to 2024 dollars. Using the Bureau of Labor Statistics, or BLS, Consumer Price Index, or CPI, data, the Ottawa Treaty of 1997 had an original cost estimate of $15 to $25 million, which is $30 to $50 million in 2024, an inflation multiplier of approximately 2 times. The Cluster Munitions Convention of 2008 had an original cost estimate of $15 to $25 million, which is $23 to $38 million in 2024, an inflation multiplier of approximately 1.5 times. The Arms Trade Treaty of 2013 had an original cost estimate of $20 to $30 million, which is $27 to $41 million in 2024, an inflation multiplier of approximately 1.35 times. The Nuclear Ban Treaty of 2017 had an original cost estimate of $10 to $25 million, which is $13 to $25 million in 2024, an inflation multiplier of approximately 1.25 times. In today's money, treaty campaigns cost roughly $25 to $50 2024 US dollars. That's less than 1% of the implementation cost. Banning landmines, about $40 million to get the signatures, and over $5 billion to actually dig them up. The paperwork is the cheap part. The not exploding anymore part is where it gets expensive. Cost for a 1% health treaty. This one touches military budgets, the sacred cow of national sovereignty. Suggest moving 1% of the explosion money, and politicians look at you like you've asked to borrow their favorite child. So budget 3 to 4 times what landmines cost.
Phase 1, pre-negotiations, including coalition building and expert drafts, takes 18 to 24 months and costs $8 to $12 million, funded by philanthropy like Gates or Open Philanthropy, and champion governments. Phase 2, the global campaign, including the platform, 3.5% consent, and media, takes 3 to 5 years and costs $45 to $80 million, funded by philanthropy and crowdfunding. Phase 3, the diplomatic process, including conferences and delegate travel, takes 18 to 30 months and costs $15 to $25 million, funded by host governments and the UN Trust Fund. Phase 4, the ratification drive, including legal reviews and parliamentary aid, takes 2 to 4 years and costs $5 to $8 million, funded by philanthropy. Phase 5, the contingency for opposition management, is ongoing and costs $10 to $15 million for strategic communications and lobbying. Total, $83 to $140 million. The math. Signing the treaty, approximately $83 million. What the treaty unlocks? $27.2 billion a year. Forever. That's over a 300-to-1 return on paperwork. How to make governments sign things? Politicians move when they see A, voters demanding it, and B, political cover. Give them both. First, prove public demand. Get 3.5% of the population, 280 million people, to say yes with verified identity. Harvard researcher Erica Chenoweth found that every nonviolent campaign with 3.5% plus participation succeeded. That's not activism, that's a mandate. 280 million verified humans is the kind of number that makes politicians suddenly remember they work for you. Second, prove it's safe. Peer-reviewed modeling showing every nation gains more in health savings than it loses in military spending. Politicians need cover the way vampires need darkness. Give them studies to wave around. Timeline to governments can't ignore this. With approximately $60 million in seed funding, you can reach treaty-ready status in 2 to 3 years. A platform with 280 million verified supporters, a 3.5% threshold, modeling for country-by-country impact analysis, and a coalition of 120-plus supportive NGOs and 5 to 10 champion governments. Once these assets exist, formal negotiations become inevitable, not because politicians want them, because ignoring 280 million people is the kind of career decision that leads to spending more time with family. You aren't buying a treaty, you're buying the machinery that makes the treaty inevitable. Political success probability. Economic analysis. To calculate expected value, you need to estimate the probability this actually works. This section documents the rationale for the 1% central estimate and a 25% optimistic scenario ceiling. Yes, the model assumes a 99% chance of failure. It's still a good bet. Stay with me.
Even at a 1% probability of success, this intervention's expected cost per disability adjusted life year, or DALY, of 18 cents is still 503 times more cost effective than malaria bed nets, $89 per DALY. Bed nets are the gold standard of global health interventions.
The political success probability is 1%, with a 95% confidence interval between 0.1% and 10%. The expected cost per disability adjusted life year, or DALY, is 17.7 cents, ranging from 2.9 cents to $3.20. The cost effectiveness versus bed nets is 503 times higher, with a range of 30 times to 3,000 times. The bed net cost per DALY is $89, with a range of $78 to $100. Historical precedents, the depressing table. For the 0.7% official development assistance, or ODA, target, the goal was 0.7% of gross national income, or GNI, to foreign aid. Only about 20% of countries actually did it over 50-plus years, primarily Scandinavia and Germany. The Kyoto Protocol set binding emissions targets from 1997 to 2012. About 55% of countries initially complied, before a collapse where the U.S. never ratified and Canada withdrew. The Paris Agreement involved non-binding pledges from 2015 to the present. About 15 to 25% of the 195 signatory countries are on track, and perhaps only 40 actually meant it. The NATO 2% GDP defense target has reached compliance about 72% of members as of 2024. It was only about 32% until 2014, when an actual land war in Europe motivated countries to spend more on killing. The EU Stability Pact has aimed for a 3% deficit and 60% debt since 1997, but is routinely violated, with even France and Germany breaking their own rules. Pattern: international financial commitments achieve less than 25% meaningful compliance. Your species signs things and then doesn't do them. It's like a New Year's resolution, but for geopolitics. Why a 1% treaty is harder than most precedents. Let's be honest about the obstacles. This is not a chapter written by someone trying to sell you something. It is, but at least it's honest about the hard parts. Touches military budgets. Politicians would rather discuss their browser history than their defense budget. Requires ongoing annual allocation. Not a one-time signature like banning a weapon. It's a gym membership for peace. Monthly. Forever. No immediate security threat. Unlike NATO increases post-Ukraine, hard to motivate governments without an active catastrophe, even though 150,000 deaths per day apparently doesn't qualify as one. Novel mechanism. Military to health reallocation has never been done. Humans are suspicious of things they haven't tried before, which is odd for a species that also invented bungee jumping. Coordination problem. Benefits require critical mass. Nobody wants to go first. Everybody wants to go second. Why a 1% treaty might beat the odds. 1. Self-funding. Creates health dividends that exceed the cost. You make money doing this. That's unusual for moral obligations. 2. Bipartisan appeal. Should we cure more diseases? Polls well across every political spectrum. Shocking, I know. 3. Referendum pathway. Can bypass government resistance through direct democracy. Politicians hate this one weird trick. 4. Visible beneficiaries. 150,000 deaths per day. Hard to argue with the body count. 5. Network effects. Each signing country makes the next more likely. Peer pressure, humanity's most reliable technology. Probability estimates. Economists would find the following defensible, and economists find very little defensible. For the pessimistic floor, the probability is 0.1%, where everything goes wrong, global crises, political gridlock, or possibly an asteroid. For the conservative central scenario, there is a 1% probability, representing a 99% chance of failure, yet still 503 times better than bed nets. For the optimistic ceiling, the probability is 25%, where a major crisis opens a political window, or humans just decide to be smart for once. The model uses central estimate, 1%. Expected value, even when you assume failure, at 1% probability of success, expected ROI, 848,000 to 1, still positive, even assuming near certain failure. Expected cost per disability adjusted life year, or daily, 17.7 cents, 503 times better than bed nets at $89 per daily. Downside, capped at approximately $1 billion. You lose the cost of a nice yacht. Upside, unbounded. You cure most diseases. Even assuming a 99% chance of total failure, this beats the gold standard of global health interventions. The math doesn't care about your pessimism. Why the treaty won't stop at 1%? Most international commitments stagnate after signing. You saw the depressing table. 0.7% official development assistance, or ODA, targets unmet for 50 plus years. Kyoto abandoned, Paris missed. Your track record with follow-through makes goldfish look disciplined. So why would a 1% health treaty be any different? Because this time, people get paid. The 80-10-10 funding structure allocates 10% of treaty funding, $2.72 billion per year at 1%, to incentive alignment bonds. These are securities that pay out when treaties expand, not just maintain. In other words, people get rich when more diseases get cured. Finally, a financial instrument that isn't morally bankrupt. The expansion mechanism. At a 1% treaty level, the annual IAB pool is $2.72 billion per year, creating strong political pressure, equivalent to 10 times the largest NGO budgets. At a 2% level, it's $5.44 billion per year, creating very strong political pressure at a nation-state level. At a 5% level, it's $13.6 billion per year, creating overwhelming pressure, like a major industry lobby. At a 10% level, it's $27.2 billion per year, creating unstoppable pressure with no precedent. Why this differs from every other treaty? 0.7% official development assistance, or ODA, failed because nobody made money when countries complied. The NGOs pushing for compliance have small budgets, compete with each other, and run on guilt. Guilt has terrible fuel efficiency. The 1% health treaty creates its own expansion lobby. Bondholders profit when the treaty expands to 2%, then 5%, then 10%. These aren't activists you can ignore at a dinner party. They're investors with quarterly earnings calls about curing diseases. The ratchet effect. Once 1% passes, $2.72 billion per year flows to Impact Acceleration Bond, or IAB, holders pushing for 2%. When 2% passes, $5.44 billion per year pushes for 5%. When 5% passes, $13.6 billion per year pushes for 10%. The political pressure for expansion accelerates with each success. Most treaties are gym memberships purchased in January and abandoned by February. IABs are the opposite. The constituency for expansion grows with each success. Greed doesn't take holidays. Long-term feasibility. With IABs, the 10% allocation creates a perpetual political engine, a machine that runs on greed and outputs health. Embarrassing, but effective. Without IABs, this joins Kyoto in the Museum of Things humanity promised to do and then didn't. Thank you so much for taking the time to end war and disease. But if at any point you decide you're too busy, please share this with a friend who's got a free afternoon and have them end war and disease instead.
And if you're too busy to even do that, please leave a really good rating and review. It doesn't have to be true, they don't check. So we overcome the pro-war algorithmic suppression and find someone with more spare time for ending wars and diseases. But if you're too busy to even do that, the absolute least you could do is take 15 seconds to go to warondisease.org and tell us what fraction of humanity's resources should go to explosions versus clinical trials and vote on the 1% treaty. If the treaty passes, your vote will be personally to blame for saving 38.4 lives and preventing 6.90 million hours of suffering. Go to warondisease.org right now. Love you. Bye.